Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome, everybody, to Soccer 101. I am Taylor Rockwell. As usual, I am joined by Graham Ruthven for what I am calling a Ruthven special, as this week's topic is one about which I'm assuming Graham has a lot more knowledge and background than I. Graham Ruthven, how you doing, my friend?
Hello, Taylor Rockwell. I am confused because I thought you were a big program collector. I thought you would be excited about this episode. That's why you bought a bigger house, right?
Yes.
You said it was for a family, but it was actually for your collection of rare FA Cup final programs.
Yeah, the program room. That's what we call it. I will tell you, we are talking about match programs today. In searching for information about programs, it gets really tricky because Americans don't spell it the way you all do. And when you look for like pre-match program, that usually ends up with like what bar are people drinking at or how do you prepare to play an actual game of football. But Graham, let's talk programs for a moment. Programs with two M's and an E on the end to really add clarification. I'm sure that helps. What is a program?
So a program is a little booklet that you buy at a match, and that booklet is all about that specific match. So very roughly, you would usually pay like $5 for a program. I've got this program that I got last night at the Scotland game. It's in the style of a book with Super John McGinn. It costs £5. That's slightly more expensive than you would ordinarily pay.
Is it like £3.50? £3.50, is that the average, or is it a little more?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think a Sterling Albion program is about £3.50, but it's between £3 and £5. Anything more than £5 would be pretty extortionate. The general rule is the bigger match that you go to or the bigger club, it's probably going to cost more because there's more production value that's gone into the program. Usually a program is small enough to fit into your back pocket, so that's how I carried about this one last night. You just stick it in your back pocket, although that has changed over time, and now you get the big magazine-sized ones at a lot of clubs. And I think the purpose of a program can be dated back to the early 1900s, which is when programs started to become more common. There wasn't discussion about soccer on TV or radio, and there wasn't social media, of course, and there were no fan forums. So programs were essentially a way for the club to communicate with its fans. And I still think of it in that sense. I think of a program as a sort of notice board. So it could be for advertising tickets for future matches or informing fans of a charity dinner, stuff like that. Traditionally, you'll also have like a preview of the day's opposition, and that can be quite useful. So there are a number of different things in there. As a concept, it is quite antiquated, I have to admit, but it is something that I think even in the 21st century holds some value.
And I remember getting them for certain American sporting events over here. They look very different than the one you just showed, which looked incredible, I have to say. It fully looks like a comic book. It looks pretty awesome. Ours, to my memory and understanding, are much more formal and official looking, and they usually have a montage of players doing something on the cover, and they're very glossy, and then you get the stats and the lineup and whatnot. And I remember them being a very good way to learn about the opposition as well, the opposition players, the team, the coach, all that good stuff. So you would sort of know a bit more about them as you prepared to watch, because to your point, when you didn't have Twitter for lineups or FotMob for lineups, and you didn't have the easy access of a phone to learn all about the team or to already know all about the team, that was a really good way to sort of get a basic understanding of who the team you were playing was and who their stars were and that sort of thing.
And I think even in the modern age, that's especially useful in the lower leagues because, talking about Stirling Albion, I don't watch Stirling Albion's opponents every week. There isn't a way for me to watch them every week unless you go to the games, and I don't do that. So Stirling Albion are playing Montrose. Obviously, I remember how they played against us the last time, but I don't have really an idea of who their informed players are or sometimes even how they play. So having that information in the program is really useful. And that is the bit of the program that I don't always buy a program, but if I do buy a program, that is the part of the program that I'll go to first for that information.
That's really fascinating because I think that same argument holds over here where I go to Kickers games, Richmond Kickers games here in Richmond, and it would be weird if I was going to Richmond Kickers games, not in Richmond. I think you'll normally get maybe like a slip of paper that has the starting lineups on it. Maybe you'll get like a slip of paper that just has the two squads on it or the match day squads, but you won't get much more than that. I think you can buy like the season program. Maybe for bigger games, they'll have individual ones, but I cannot remember the last time I saw one of those being offered. And it would be really nice to have that, to be able to know more about the team, to be able to know more about the opposition that you're playing and sort of just get up to speed with things. My assumption would be that it's a cost-cutting move and that they can't guarantee that people are going to buy that. So they don't want to have to put in all that work in the week to get one printed, get one ready for maybe then 50 people to buy or something like that. But I do wish they were a little bit more common here in soccer. I think they are much more common in other sports, especially baseball. Maybe that has changed. I'm sure there are apps and other things that make it maybe less essential. But to my understanding, that used to be a thing where you could then keep track of the score, obviously, and what each batter was doing. But it was a way, like I read a few posts from people talking about how that was a good way to learn math, because then you're figuring out the batter's new average if they get a hit or don't get a hit. And so it was an interactive way to keep people participating. And I think with the older programs that I was reading about on the footballing side of things, you would have blank pages or like blank lists where you could write in the squad for the day or write in the lineup for the day. And so I do think it was a way to help you sort of keep track of what was happening, but also keep you informed at the same time.
I found a program from, I think it was 1875.
Yes, sir.
And it was a 73? Program, 73. Yeah. It was an England-Scotland game.
Oh, and okay, never mind. Different one.
They had the pitch view and they had the names of the players, but squad numbers wasn't a thing in 1875 or 73, whenever it was. And so, I don't think I knew this. Players would wear different colours of socks back then as identifiers. And so below the player would be, you know, red, green, black, and then yellow, blue, black, or something like that. And that was the way, I mean, I feel like we moved on from this point.
They had 11 colors in 1875? I didn't know that. All right. I thought it was all
black and
white.
Well, maybe it's shades of grey. Light grey, dark grey, black. Yeah. But that, I found that fascinating. So that was included in the program of the time, was a way to identify players, I presume, because, well, these guys, they weren't on TV. There's not really any soccer radio to speak of at the time. So fans needed identifiers. The other purpose, just to take us back to kind of present day match day programs, the other purpose is sponsorship. So local businesses will pay a little bit of money to get a slot in the program. Oftentimes, I can't imagine many people are paying attention to those advertisements, but it's just a way to support the local club if you're a local business. And there's also the page, I think Ryan spoke about this on the show at some point recently, because I presume Wimbledon has something similar, but there'll be a page where it's like the full squad, a picture of each player, and you can sponsor a player for the season. You can sponsor their home shirt, their away shirt, sometimes their shorts. And again, that's just a way for fans to give more money to the club, to support the club. But that's what you get, essentially, is within the program, there is a page and your name will be down next to a player. I don't think they do that at a higher level. Like, I can't imagine anyone is sponsoring Erling Haaland's shorts in the Manchester City program.
Yes.
But at a lower league level, Man City will find a way to revenue that.
Etihad Airways has to sponsor more things, yes.
Yeah. But it's another revenue, a small revenue stream for the club. It's just a way for them to make a little bit of money.
Going back to the history for a moment, it seems like they became somewhat common, somewhat ubiquitous as like single sheets with team specific info in the late 1880s. And then they like add pages as time goes on, and then they get smaller. To your point, like in the modern era, they tend to be a little bit smaller, so you can fit them in your pocket. I think it was like an A4 size instead of an A5 size. I only know that from notebooks that I use. But I also enjoyed reading about the oldest one that I believe still exists. It's from 1873. That's the one I thought you were mentioning. And it was Yale versus Eton, yeah. Which is bougie surprising. And then some. Yes, but also very surprising. Yes. From Connecticut. I would not have thought that the oldest football program is from Connecticut in 1873. I should note that from what I read, that game would have been unrecognizable by today's standards. It was 11v11. That was the compromise because the Yale side, I think, used significantly more players, generally speaking. But you also had 25-foot wide goals, a 400-foot long pitch, and a size 6 ball that is somewhat different, not massively different, because 25 feet sounds like huge until you remember that it's 8 yards wide. So it's 1 foot wider, basically. But still different pitch size, different everything. But you still had a program, so that's kind of cool. Yeah. Graham, why do people collect programs? Why is that a thing that would potentially need a whole room in a house?
First of all, do we think Eton used the program as a form of condescension to yes. the Americans? Like, they had the rules written down. They were like, here's the rules for you. By the way, put on these colored socks. Like, do you think this was part of the ploy?
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, because everything I've ever understood about Eton is exactly that. Yes. I'm like, you're welcome. I exist here, and you're welcome for us gracing you with our presence. I love that they lost that game. It makes me very happy that they lost 2-1.
I don't think I knew that they lost. That makes me happy as well.
Right? Yeah. which makes me not surprised that it was very difficult to find that single sheet program. I think it was found in like a book, yeah. maybe like 80 years later or something like that.
It went for £15,000 in auction, which is quite a lot for what I presume was essentially just a sheet of paper. But to answer your question, why do people collect programs? So this is maybe one reason why I think culturally programs are more common or certainly more prominent in British soccer than they are in American soccer. It's just been part of the ritual for decades and decades, even centuries. I think even guys that I go to the football with now, they treat it as part of the ritual. You know, they have their ticket, they buy the program, they get a pie and a bovril, and they watch the game. And I think in the internet age, you could obviously argue that there isn't much point to them, but they are one of the few souvenirs you can get to mark a specific match. And I also think in the modern age, where you rarely get a physical ticket for a match now, it is usually a QR code on your phone now. Even Scottish League One, Stirling Albion, my season ticket now is something in my phone's wallet. So I think program collecting is actually enjoying a bit of a renaissance because of that, because you can't collect the ticket anymore. And if you go to a match and you want to remember that match with something, the program's kind of your only option specifically related to that match.
It's so that, yeah, or I think half and half scarf. That's what you got. One of those is slightly more looked down upon than the other. A quick clarification, Graham. How different are programs to like fanzines? Like United We Stand, famously sold by Andy Mitten. Like, how much overlap is there going to be between a match fanzine like that and the match program?
Yeah, obviously there's going to be some overlap, and I think you can see. So the fanzine era, in my mind, is like the 70s and 80s. And when they became really, really popular. And you can see beyond that point that official matchday programs morphed into more kind of magazine-style productions with interviews. And if I were to open a program now, that's kind of what I would expect in it. There's more than just fixture lists. I think back in the day, talking like, you know, through the 30s and 40s, 50s, those sort of decades, you would expect it just to be very dry in terms of results and here's the players and certain bits of information. But after that point, it becomes about interviews, it becomes about maybe historical pieces, and I think that's very much informed by the fanzine movement. And obviously fanzines still exist. United We Stand, I think Andy Mitten himself still sells that on the corner of Old Trafford every single game, which is very admirable. But I think it's also fair to say the fanzine movement has died down a little bit from its peak, and I think that is partly due to the fact they've sort of been absorbed by the match day program.
And the match day program, does that often have thoughts from the manager? Is that a consistent thing or is that an inconsistent thing?
No, that's certainly a consistent thing. I would say that's one of the staples, would be on the very first page, some kind of message from the manager. Now, look, that message is normally very generic and says, you know, we're looking forward to the game and here's, you know, we've had a good run of form or a bad run of form. We need to pick up some results. It's not the most engrossing read, I have to admit.
I think I used to think it was like a sermon or something like that about like this week. The message is dedication and we strive for like, yeah, I do feel like the ones I've read are a bit more.
Well, maybe
looking forward to
maybe
the match like, and fighting hard and the spirit of Old Trafford and blah, 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 blah.
I've never read a program from a match Bielsa was manager for. I feel like that's maybe where we get the sermon.
Fight! Just in all caps. 72-point font. That's what you get from Bielsa.
The other thing that's quite funny about that message from the manager is at the start of a program is often programs will be printed like a week in advance. So if you have 2 matches in a week, that message becomes even more generic, where they don't talk about any specifics. It's basically just, yes, we are this team and we will try to win today to put points on the league table that we need. It's a bit farcical at that point.
I'm sure teams are professional enough to not let this happen, but what I immediately pictured with the they're printed like in advance would be a manager getting sacked and then still having the sacked managers like,
oh, that's
manager,
happened.
Your thoughts? No way.
Yeah, absolutely that has happened. Yeah, of course it's happened, because we've had managerial sackings the day before a game, so what do? They have to put the program out, I guess. I mean, they could maybe, like, tip-ex the whole thing out.
I just think, like, where it says, like, I'm looking forward to the match, just insert, like, not. So now it says, I'm not looking forward to the match. There we go. That's a good way to solve that one. That is wild. I'm assuming that those types of programs where the manager has been sacked would be a little bit rare, maybe be a little bit more of a collector's item, which begs the question, Graham. You said that one from 1873 went for £15,000. How expensive can these get?
I think that's the record. Actually, no, I think I've got a couple other records here. So just generally, anything during the wartime in the UK is really rare because of paper shortages, which I found really interesting. So anything around that time is very valuable. The record, here we go, I found it in my notes eventually. The record is £35,000 for a program, and that was an FA Cup final program from 1882, and that match was between Blackburn Rovers and Old Etonians. Etons everywhere.
There you go.
Another FA Cup final from 1909 between Manchester United and Bristol City went for £23,500. Pounds. And interestingly, one of the when you're talking about Taylor, programs that have been printed before a managerial sacking, on a similar tangent, a slightly more morbid tangent, unfortunately, one of the most valuable programs out there is for a match that didn't even happen. So after the Munich air disaster, Manchester United were meant to be playing Wolves a few days later. Obviously, that match was postponed. But the programs had already been printed. As I say, these programs are printed in advance, about a week in advance. So those programs have gone for thousands of pounds in auction. I found a few references to that game. That seems to be a bit of a holy grail of football program collecting. Basically, any FA Cup final from about 100 years ago is going to be worth something. And then the 1966 World Cup final is one that has gone for a good amount in auction as well.
And for you, Graham, a person who buys them at a slightly lower value, what's the most money you've spent on a program, actually, now I have to ask?
It has to just be like a fiver. Okay. I'm not someone who... There are levels to my collecting habits in football. Mm-hmm. Shirt collecting is quite high in a list. Program collecting is essentially if I'm at a game or I see one, or if a friend is going to a match, I might say to them, go and pick me up a program from that game. But yeah, I can't imagine I've paid more than £5 for a program.
And if we're apportioning, I guess, like the reason for why one would buy a program, for why Graham Ruthven would purchase a program, a good program at that, what makes a good program? Is like 80% of it the cover? Because that Super John McGinn one is pretty incredible, I have to say.
Oh yeah, I'm not buying this one without the Super John McGinn cover. Inside it's a pretty like standard program. But the things I'm looking for in a program are I've already mentioned this, but a good preview of the opposition, including a form guide, some information on their best players, how they play, stuff like that. some good historical content, so maybe an on this day feature or a look at the last time you played this opponent, if it was quite a long time ago. So Scotland played Northern Ireland last night. I think it was 2015. That's the last time we'd played them before last night, and so there's a feature in here about that game. I was at that match and had forgotten pretty much all the players that played in that game, so that was nice to have my memory jogged. I also need some visual stuff. So some lower league programs you get, it's just pages and pages of text. Forfar Athletic are a little bit like that. I bought that once. I've not bought another Forfar Athletic program. I need some imagery or some artwork or something, because if I'm honest, before a match, I'm not really reading in-depth text content. I'm sort of flicking through and reading little bits. So, yes, I'm a child. I need some pictures. And to your point, Taylor, an eye-catching cover makes a difference as well, especially if it's a comic book-style picture of Super John McGinn on the front of the program.
It shatters the illusion I had of you at Sterling Games with a leather-bound tome and a scarf and a pipe just sat there academically reading instead. I'm assuming it's more screaming. Are you a yeller during matches, or are you more of a quiet spectator?
I will shout at times.
Interesting.
Yeah, as my routine.
We talked about this. I'm going off topic very much for a moment. We talked about this on yesterday's TSS episode. Graham, can you imagine Joe Lowry yelling?
No, not really.
Yep. that's where I was with it. Back to the programs. Just needed to make sure we're on the same page. How many do you think you own?
So I am not an avid program collector.
I feel like you say that, and then your number is going to be like 500.
No, not 500. So in preparation for this episode, I went into the spare room, which is always an adventure.
There we go. So you told him yourself. You were projecting with your opening comments. You have a spare room for programs. I see.
There are other things in there.
Sure, there
like
are.
A Peloton that hasn't been used in 2 years since the pandemic, maybe. So I went through the pile of programs in our spare room yesterday, and I think there's quite a number missing that might be at like my parents' house. I hadn't looked at them for ages. I counted them up. I don't have a huge number. I had 58 programs, which I feel like is not a huge number given how many matches I've been to. But there are a couple of special ones in there. So I've got a couple of programs from Champions League finals. So I've got the 2002 Champions League final program between Real Madrid and Bayer Leverkusen. Have no idea how I've got that, because I did not go to that game. So it must have been someone that I knew, or maybe my dad had a friend that went to that game or something that picked up a program. And then I've got a program from the 2008 Champions League final between Manchester United and Chelsea. I do know why I've got that one. One of my friends is a Manchester United supporter, and so he picked up that program at the game for me. So those are maybe my most prized ones, or certainly from the biggest games. I've got a cup final one between Celtic and Rangers, which has a really smart cover, half red, half green, just a really nice design. I've got a bunch of Everton ones. I've got Manchester United ones, just because of going to matches with friends who support those teams. I've got a bunch of Scotland ones that I'd completely forgotten about. I've got loads of Scotland ones. Apparently, when I'm at a Scotland game, my brain tells me to buy a program.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't do that at most matches, I don't know if it's because there aren't many Scotland games in a year that I feel like I have to make the most of the occasion. So I've got a huge number of Scotland programs, like half of them are Scotland programs. So yeah, I've got a decent number, I would say.
And then you take them to your parents' house and leave them there?
I think the other way around happened. They were in my parents' house, and then I left parents' house years ago.
I reckon I must have...
somewhere in my parents' house, at least 100 Sterling Albion programs sitting somewhere.
So you sort of just answered it there, but do you reread them? Do you frame them? Do you store them in any particular way, or are they just about?
No, they're just in a pile. The reason I have all the Sterling Albion ones as well is because I used to write it back in the day. That was one of the things I used to do. So Sterling Albion, we changed our strategy about 10 years ago, and we've since ditched it. But we went to a monthly program. So if there were three home games in a month, you would get the same program for the three games, and it was a much bigger sort of magazine style production. It was like three times the size of what we have now, but fans didn't really like it. But during that era, I used to write the Sterling Albion program, and I used to have to write the manager's thoughts, because spoiler alert, not written by the manager 99% of the time. So yeah, that used to be one of my jobs.
And final question for me, do you feel like there is still a place for programs in the modern game? When we do have smartphones, we have access to everything. We can get the lineups instantly. We can click on a player's name and get their stats for the season and go to their Wikipedia page and get their bio. It does seem like you have limitless information. Is there an argument for still having programs?
I think there's certainly an argument. I reckon they've got a while left of being around, but ultimately I think they probably will disappear. I think of my friends who are football fans, and when they go to a game, I am the only weirdo who even considers buying a program. I'm old in spirit like that, but I think people still like programs for now because they want to remember the matches they've been to, and programs are a way of doing that. I also like the community purpose they serve, and the fact that the matter is that a lot of lower league clubs, the fans are of an older vintage, shall we say, so they're not on social media, they're not on forums, so I think these generations will keep programs alive for a while yet. So I certainly still think they've got value to football clubs, but yeah, 50 years from now, maybe even less than that, I would be surprised if programs are still around.
I am a pretty sentimental person, which leads me to have slight hoarder tendencies, I think. So I get the appeal of it as a collector's item to have a way to remember being there, to remember that game, that specific match, and not have it be a half and half scarf or having to buy a jersey or something like that, or holding onto like a piece of trash because like, oh, I was there. This is my reminder.
I've done that before. Yeah, a plastic bag. That's always the one. Keep a plastic bag hanging around because it was from a time I was at a game or a sporting event or something.
Yep. I think I have like remnants of the confetti from when the Seattle Sounders won MLS Cup in like 2019 or something like that.
Oh, that's quite cool. Yeah. But what do you do with that confetti?
That's
just
a great
keep
question,
it hanging around your drawer.
It's the same thing you do with all of like the press badges you get. Like, one day I'll do something with these. I don't know what, but right now they're in a shoebox, and I'm sure I'll figure that out eventually. I probably will not. Graham Ruthven, thank you for talking about programs with me. I really enjoyed this one. I like getting the insight into Graham, the soccer aficionado, collector, historian, memorabilia expert, all those things.
Nerd is shorter.
That's probably a better way to put it. Do you have a favorite one ever? Do you have the one that you will like keep forever? If you were going to frame one, what would it be? Is it Super John McGinn that you've shown me twice?
Honestly, maybe this is recency bias, but this is the coolest cover of a program ever, the Super John McGinn comic book cover.
Graham will post this, I'm sure, at some point, but if people are listening to this much later, it does look like a throwback old school Superman cover with like the faded sort of coloring to go with it, but it also is just very well done with him doing the eyeglasses. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, I think this one, in terms of its design, this is certainly my new favorite. But the Zidane Champions League final program is That's like a landmark match in football history. One of the most famous goals of all time. So yeah, that I feel like that one might sell for more than my Scotland v Northern Ireland friendly program from last night.
I mean, you've got the one from the greatest slip ever in the Champions League final of 2008. Thanks, John Terry. Graham Ruthven, thank you so much for talking programs with me this week. I very much enjoyed it.
Thank you, Taylor Rockwell.
Listeners, hopefully you all enjoyed it as well, and we'll talk to you again next week.